That's kind of wrong. I'm going to disagree with that. It's information and entertainment. Right, Holly?
That's right.
Absolutely. We are here with Holly Bowers. What is the official title? Executive Vice President?
That's right.
Executive Vice President of Roofworks, right here in Raleigh. Tell me, how's the roofing situation going on?
It's good. I mean, that snow and the big torrential downpours that we just got brought in quite a bit of work. So, yes, we need it, though. We needed the rain with all the fires going on. I was hoping that we got some good rain to put those out.
We did get a lot of rain. And in my neighborhood, the rain did not come down. The rain came over. It came from one direction. And it was just sideways rain for the whole day. I bet you got some the people who noticed that they had some damage.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Those kind of rainstorms always bring in some quirky stuff, too, because like you said, it's sideways. So sometimes water's getting in areas that they wouldn't necessarily get in if it's just a downpour.
Right. So people are discovering leaks.
Oh, yeah.
And what should we do if we discover a leak?
Definitely call us. Get us out there. Let us take a look at it. And if we can't make repairs that same trip, we're going to do a dry-in, which means we temporarily dry it in for you until we can get an estimate over to provide for whatever work is needed.
So you're really also like an emergency. You know, if you have an emergency and it's raining into your house, Roofworks will remediate for a time.
Correct.
And then come back when the sun's shining.
Oh, yeah, because the biggest thing is we want to stop that initial leak so it doesn't cause any more damage. And our whole objective is to come out and make repairs on that same trip, but that's not always the case depending on what the situation is.
It's funny because in a previous life, I worked for a company that did emergency call-outs. If you had a fire, they would come out, they would put in air. The major problem with a fire is not the fire. It's the water.
Yeah.
And they would put in dehumidifiers and do all this other stuff. But then they'd call a roofer or a drywall guy or, you know, whatever. You're the people to call if you see a leak.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's it. Like I said, even if we get out there and it's not a roofing issue, our guys are so good at pinpointing what it is. So if it's a different trade that is carrying the problem, then they'll let the homeowner know so they can call whoever needs to be called.
And you're not like faking it by saying, oh, yeah, there's a plumbing issue. I'm just going to call a subcontractor.
No. That's not our thing. I mean, if we do find plumbing leaks a lot. We find leaks coming from condensation lines, the HVAC system. So that's, like I said, you just don't know. The best thing is go ahead and call us. Let us go out there and take a look at it, and we'll diagnose it and let you know exactly what's going on.
All right. Tell me, you've got one brand that you talk about a lot. And I've got one of the coffee cups, so I know who it is. But what's the one brand that you're very comfortable with?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, CertainTeed is our go-to. The best thing is CertainTeed's plant is right here in Oxford. It's one of the biggest plants in the world.
Yeah.
And why not support local? Because that's, you know, that helps our economy as well. CertainTeed's been a great partnership with us. They're a great company. They got some of the best shingles on the market, so we want to put the best roof systems on. That's why we support CertainTeed so much, because we truly believe they do have the best shingles.
Now, if CertainTeed did not have the pattern that I'm interested, are there other options?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely other manufacturers that are good as well. And a lot of it comes down to aesthetics, because the type of shingle is very similar, but the color patterns that are in these different shingles with different manufacturers, that's the thing that separates it. GAF, for instance, has different brown tones that CertainTeed doesn't particularly have. Owens Corning has got quite a bit more color fleck in it, so it looks very different. It's very vibrant.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to a design aesthetic aspect, that's really the biggest difference between them.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And we always believe it's the homeowner's, you know, it's your house. You need to pick what's going to look best on your home.
Right.
Therefore, we can provide you with all these different types of shingles will guide you as far as what we believe is the best. But again, it comes down to what you want and, right, you know, what you feel is going to look the best on your home.
In my dad's generation, it was a three-tab shingle, and it was black. There was no other. If somebody had put something, some other color on their house, they'd have been marked as flashing. What is this guy? It's a fellow who, he clearly he's a guy who wears bow ties and, you know, suit jackets to lawn parties. The truth is now there are many other options.
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, there's been a lot of options for a long time. But yeah, if, you know, your salesperson's coming out and steering you in one particular direction and they're not educating you on all of these different types and colors and designs, then you really don't know any different. So that's why the big thing for us was having this showroom, because we wanted people to know that they have tons and tons of different options. And that way they could come take a look at it, get educated before they make a big decision. Because roofs are very, very expensive nowadays, especially.
Where is the showroom?
It is at 5413 Hillsborough Street,
right,
Raleigh, right by the fairgrounds.
Right by the fairgrounds.
We have an awesome facility, and we welcome everybody to come see us. Just drop by. We have a lot of customers that stop by that have a lot of questions. They want to look at sample boards. That's what we're there for.
Do we need an appointment?
You can set an appointment up, but if you stop by during business hours, there's always going to be someone there to help you.
You know, you're a place of business.
That's right.
Somebody comes in curious to maybe buy something.
That's right.
Yeah, clearly you're open for business.
I mean, Monday through Fridays, we're there, you know, typically 8 to 5, sometimes 8 to 6.
Yeah.
A little bit earlier than that. And then on the weekends, we'll be happy to meet you if you set an appointment on the weekends.
And I've gone through the process, insurance process, with a previous home long before I met you, long before I knew of RoofWorks. And I went through the process, and I'm not remembering. I can't remember at this point whether it was a door knocker, you know, whether it was somebody who just came by and said, you know, because the neighborhood had been hit pretty seriously. It's probably possible that my wife picked up the phone, called a few people, and somebody came out. They showed us a lovely pamphlet. And the pamphlet showed a couple of choices. And that was it. Couple of choices. And this had been a hail damage thing. The whole neighborhood got hail damage. Although, oddly, there were 3 and 4 people who were not getting their roof repaired because their company didn't say, yeah, okay, repair it or replace it. We did. But what do you think about somebody who's got a pamphlet? I mean, got 5 options.
Well, you know, I'm not sure how other companies do it, but with us, it's very important that we take the time to sit down and educate our customers. Even if it's an insurance claim situation, yeah, you're getting help from the insurance company. You need to still be educated because they're helping you, you know, reimburse to you to get that roof, right, replaced. But you could have upgraded to a better shingle, a better roof system, mm-hmm, a better warranty. And those are the things that need to be discussed.
Right. We have architectural shingles on our house. A lot of people do. What is the advantage? What does that name, architectural shingle, really mean in our lives?
Well, the architectural shingles, they're actually better than the basic 3-tab shingle. So it was always an upgrade from going with your basic strip 3-tab shingle system. They look better, they're thicker, and now as they keep improving them, they're, yeah, actually standing up better to hail, which in turn is going to help because you won't see so many claims coming through the pipeline, right, as they keep integrating these new shingle products into these roof systems. So hopefully that's going to help, you know, clean up some of this mess with insurance companies losing so much money and all these fraudulent claims, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I'm really happy to see, because if you can put a better product on that's going to stand up to hail, uh-huh, then that's a no-brainer. But those are the things that you need to be educated about, just like your situation, there were better options for you. You could have put a better shingle on, right. maybe came out of pocket a little bit more money, but you're not going to have to deal with hail again if you put the right product on.
Really?
Because you could have went with the impact-resistant shingle. That would have stood the test of time. Wow. But you didn't know that, so that's kind of where you are now.
Yeah, and I'm glad. You know, we sold the house in Fuquay about 3 years ago, which was like right at the – it was at the absolute perfect time. And we're happy, but it was right after I got a new roof and a new siding on the house. And frankly, the next person who bought my house, it was a company, and they didn't even look. They didn't even care. They just bought it on square footage and the square footage and zip code.
I know, because when you're going through those, especially real estate transactions, yeah. there's so much to think about. A lot of times you're not thinking about things that are very, very important, which the roof that covers your house is one of the most important factors on it. So you right. do want to get in front of it. You want to get it inspected. You want to know what you're buying into. Do you even have a warranty that you could have passed on to that yeah. new homeowner? Did they even know that? And that's, you can't miss that stuff. That stuff is critical because if you're not catching it on the front end, especially in those transactions,
yeah.
5 years from now when you have a problem, what happens?
I honestly,
nobody really knows what's going on.
I honestly do not know whether we transferred any sort of warranty to the next owner.
Right.
I have no clue at all. So the answer is probably no. I probably didn't.
Yeah, those are the things that are very, very important. The warranties that we give on our residential replacements, they're all transferable.
Yeah.
There's a timeline there, but if all the homeowner has to do is call us and give us the information for the new buyers, and we can go ahead and we'll call the manufacturer and get everything transferred, and yeah. that warranty picks up on the duration of the lifetime of whatever's left.
Right. All right, we'll talk more about that in just a bit. We're with Holly Bowers from Roofworks on Making Your Home Great, 92.9 AM 680 WPTF News, Talk, Traffic, and Making Your Home Great. Okay, I was bragging about my granddaughters, and I missed the... fact that the commercials ended. Hey, guess what? Making Your Home Great is on from 11 o'clock until 1 o'clock every Saturday on 92.9 and 680 WPTF. I'm bragging to about my grandkids. They are at the special age. We were talking off the air. They're special age when they believe that the girls who are dressed up like the Disney princesses are in fact Disney princesses.
That's the best.
What
age.
A wonderful, what a one. And you've got a daughter too, so you can appreciate that whole transition
yes.
from not real to real.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Jim from Frog Hop is here. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the program. Tell me where Frog Hop is.
Frog Hop is a little small community between Youngsville, Roseville, Zebulon, and Wake Forest, and my grandfather named it. He owned like 350 acres on the Franklin County, Wake County line at one time, and he
yeah.
said when it rains, frogs come out from underneath the house and hop. Good morning, Your Majesty.
Good morning, sir.
I wanted to let you know, even though my neighbors don't call in, we always enjoy your sweet voice, and you are by far our favorite guest. So.
Well, thank you.
And hello, Alexander the Great. Good to have you back.
Jim, it's so great to be on the radio. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay, I've got, I'm glad that the royal carriage got our Royal Highness into WPTF this morning. So, I've got a couple of questions for you. And this is from my neighbors. One, we just, which I think you're familiar with, 5 or 6 years ago, we had a total redo of our houses. We had siding and everything put on, but we had the roof put on first. And I've heard from different people that if you're going to have that put on, together, you should have the siding put on and the roof put on next, so that way the roof is solid to the house. Have you ever heard anything like that before?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends. We, I mean, with the roof being replaced, you want to replace the flashing. So if you did have like wood siding that we had to get behind for the flashing replacement, then it would have been better to do the roof first and then come behind us and do the siding.
Okay, cool. And another thing on the gutters, and my neighbors were discussing this. When you look at the, when people call you requesting a gutter replacement, do you look at the gutter when it comes down from the house, and do you actually recommend that people have extenders, those plastic extenders, put onto them to try to keep that water as far away from the house as you can?
Yeah, I mean, when you take the gutter system down, you want to inspect all the fascia around the house to make sure that if there's any rot, that gets replaced. And then also the big thing with the downspouts and the extensions is you want to get that water away from the foundation. So anywhere that you might have a downspout that's cut short, that's where you get those flex pipes and you put them on the bottom and you get that water pushed away, because if it does come back towards the foundation, it could erode a foundation and cause tons and tons of problems.
Thank you, Your Majesty, and you are by far the smartest person I have never met. So.
Well, the one thing I do want to say about the siding work, mm-hmm. when it comes to siding replacement and roof replacement, mm-hmm. if you have siding up on the roof, like per se dormers or wall areas that contractor is going to have to get to after the roof is replaced, you need to be careful, because a lot of times what they do is they put toe boards on that new roof system after the fact. Mm-hmm. Which means they're nailing a penetration into the roof in several areas to get those toe boards up there. So if those toe boards get removed, all of those holes need to be sealed up, because if they're not, they're going to cause leaks, and they could also potentially void the warranty. So that's a tricky situation. Just make sure that you ask the siding contractor and roofing contractor, you know, how are they going to go about doing this to make sure that they're not going to damage any new shingles that are installed if they are putting siding on afterwards.
I know.
It can be done, but everybody just needs to be careful.
Real quick. At what point do you have to worry about shingles going off like it? You know, is there a certain wind speed that you should actually start being worried about it or anything?
Yeah, I mean, that it really comes down to how many shingles you're putting or how many nails you're putting in per shingle, and then what type of shingle that you put on. We put starter shingles around the whole house, which means we picture frame it, which gives the homeowners an extended 130-mile-per-hour wind warranty. But there's also other things you can do. So say you're putting a roof on at the coast. You can do a fortified roof system, which requires other components, which will certify you for that. But with that being said, you have to put more nails per shingle, and there's a couple other things that you have to do in order to qualify.
Thank you, and I hope that you have a great weekend in your castle and everything, and your royal subject is signing off. So hope you and Alexander the Great have a great rest of the day.
Thank you, sir. Don't forget
to reset the royal clock to an hour forward tonight. Okay?
Yeah, Jim, I got a question. Is this the week where we arrive to church early because we didn't move our clock, or the one where we arrived to church late?
I'm not sure what clock the dear Lord's on. I'm not sure if he's on a heavenly clock, but you have got, it's a state law that you have to get up at 2:00 in the morning and reset it.
Okay.
Well, thank you, and thank you, everybody, and thank you, Your Majesty. You're wonderful as always.
Well, have a good weekend.
Thank you. Bye. You're such
thank
a
you,
sweet
Jim.
Voice. Bye.
We need to put him on retainer. It's just to call up. Thank you, Jim. That was wonderful. Okay, you talked about the multiple things that you need to look at.
That's right.
When you're replacing siding and the roof. Is that often happens?
Yeah, I mean, we run into, because we do replace all the flashings, I know everybody knows about the old Masonite boards. Those boards, they're saturated with water. A lot of times what we see is siding that was installed directly on the shingle, which means it wasn't done right from the get-go.
Yeah.
And all that water coming off the roof has been absorbing through that siding, which in turn has deteriorated it. So when we go to put a new roof on and we see situations like that, it's almost impossible for us not to damage siding, because we have to get up underneath it, and it's just very brittle, and those areas are going to need to be rectified.
Right. Time for news on WPTF and making your home great. Making Your Home Great on FM 92.9, AM 680 WPTF. News, talk, traffic, Making Your Home Great. Brock Emmons joins us and Holly Bowers from Roofworks. Brock, I came up with a business for me.
Okay, let's hear it.
Triangle radiation barrier.
Mm.
And I will put
when
lead.
When there's a nuclear bomb?
Yes.
Got it.
And the beauty of it is that nobody's ever going to return it.
It's true.
Because if it goes, right? If things go bad, that bad, nobody's there to return. I'm not going to be around to, you know, take returns.
So the moral of the story, listeners, if you see Dave in your front yard with a Geiger counter,
yes,
it's
yes.
best to just pack up and go ahead and move because he knows something's coming.
You know the Geiger counters, the civil defense ones
yeah,
that are
right.
yellow? They cost about $100 online.
Do they really?
Yeah. And now, they don't work, but what you can do is put your phone in the pocket and
oh yeah,
and run a loop of
that's a practical joke center right there. We take that to the mall. Just start going,
yes.
walking up to people, making the beeping noise.
Okay.
You need to come with me, ma'am.
You know how much I've thought about this? I can buy the white suit for about $5.
Oh, I've got those in the garage. Tyvek suits.
Very good.
We got them.
You should totally put it on
right,
and let's run around.
I'm sorry. This
3M
is a
face mask with cartridges.
All right. This is terrible. I shouldn't have brought that up. Holly Bowers from Roofworks is here. You got any roofing questions for you, Brock? I mean,
roofing questions? Well,
yeah.
This time of year, coming off of the ice, the cold, the stuff like that, what kind of damage were you guys finding this year after those storms? Was it primarily water damage? Were you finding wind, or was it just... No, not too bad. Just got up there, was able to clean some stuff off.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a combination because we had that snowstorm, and then we just got that torrential downpour with
right.
the winds. So I think, we've had a little bit of everything the past couple of weeks, which has been very interesting. Like Dave was talking about the sideways wind-blown rains.
Yep.
You know that those bring water in crevices that you didn't even know were a problem.
Right. You know, when your roof freezes, and you know we all had just snow covering the roofs.
Yes.
And when you have these constant temperature differences, expansion, contraction, and then heavy rain.
Yeah.
It's normally when the problems start showing, and
yeah.
I would assume you guys got an influx of. We found a water leak. We
yeah.
found a spot.
That's right, because that snow is just sitting on the roof.
Right.
It's not going anywhere, so those small leaks just start to show themselves. And then you've got the ice that, you know, gets in the gutter system. If your gutter system is vulnerable or weak, it's, you know, gutters come down. You see gutters falling off in areas like that, too.
Yeah, I've seen customers that have had a little bit of clog in the gutter, so all the water in the gutter froze. So
yep.
it's just, I mean,
wow.
there's zero flow. So if there's a big rainstorm, the water just skips right off the top of the gutter and right down onto your front porch.
Man. I back in my old house, we had a lot of trees around, and the gutter downspouts got clogged. In fact, I had a small tree grow on the gutter.
I named it Tim.
Yeah. That's right. I really should have saved it. In fact, it was in the era when I had the roof repaired, and I just had those guys clean up the gutters. But gutters in treed areas.
Yeah, that's.
Need to be what looked at once a year, twice a year?
Really, it depends. I mean, especially if like downtown Raleigh, I mean, yeah. you're talking probably four times a year at least, because just depending on how many trees you have around, you
yeah.
go in areas that have a lot of pine trees, you'll
right.
see it, they're just piling on the roof.
For those of us who are constantly having to rake, you know, all the leaves in the yard, just think about how many times a year do you have to rake? Yeah, I can go out there and rake the yard clean, and 2 days later, it looks like I've done nothing.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, it's not just they dump all the leaves at one time. This
right.
is something that's spread out over several different weeks. And unfortunately, if you don't have gutter protection, like Roofworks just came by and installed on my house, thank goodness, you're getting
yeah.
up there three or four times a year to clean the gutters. Now, I don't have to get up there three or four times a year. As a matter of fact, I did get up there after... The snow had melted, and the last major rainstorm. Just to kind of look at the gutters, and they're spotless, clean, Nothing is built up in them. My flow has improved.
Oh, thank goodness.
Everybody loves the flow. So I'm pretty excited these guys got out there and got that on my house.
Man gets to a certain age, he really wants to, you know, keep an eye on the flow.
Embrace the flow.
Embrace the flow. But, yeah, you know, and if it takes 2 days for the rain to clear out of your gutters, I think that's a key.
Yeah.
Right? You get this little trickle 2 days after a rainstorm.
And so what you'll see, if your gutters, and even a lot of times if the underground system is clogged up, it clogs everything up coming all the way to the top. So if you get a torrential downpour or, you know, even multiple rainstorms, and you're seeing water pouring over the gutter or behind the gutter, that's a bad indication that you got somewhere there's a clog, whether it's at the miter or, you know, it's down below.
So I proposed to Holly off the air that
what did she say?
No, not that kind of proposal.
Different proposal.
I said there's probably 5 or 6 things that a roofer needs to be competent in. It shouldn't be complicated to put a roof on. The problem is they're only competent in 1 or 2 that they forget that they have to be aware of the intrusions and replace the metal, what, every time? Every time you do a roof?
There's a lot of wrong ways to do a roof.
Yeah, there are.
There's way more. It's probably not the right way to say it. There's a lot. What? There's only a couple of ways to do a roof correctly.
Yes.
And there's a long list of ways to do it incorrectly.
Give me one incorrect way.
Oh, they never replaced the, or didn't put any drip edge on at all. They, you know, didn't do a proper starter strip. The underlayment they use
Starter strip is what?
Well, I'll defer to the pro.
Okay, what is starter strip?
So starter strip is the first course of shingle that, like I was talking about earlier, it picture frames the whole roof system. So it goes on the eaves. We also put it on the rake. Right. And what it does is it seals right to the deck to keep that first course of shingles down so that you don't get that uplift from the windblown rain.
If the fella starts at the top of your roof, is he doing it wrong?
Yeah.
Okay, 100%. Thank you. Because you told me about one customer who called you up and said, there's something wrong here. And actually, they had installed all of the shingles upside down.
Yeah, it was a repair that we went to go look at several years ago. So the tech sent a picture, and the shingles were definitely nailed upside down.
You're kidding?
No, we're not. I'm not kidding.
That's Dan, the do-it-yourselfer. Don't have Dan do-it-yourselfer put your roof on.
But it was clean look, I'll bet.
No, I mean it just you clearly knew that they didn't know what they were doing, and that's why I said we run into those things a lot. You know, the best thing is we've learned what works, what doesn't work to help find better solutions for homeowners that have been in these scenarios. But the big thing is just people make mistakes with the nailing, just proper nailing each shingle in the right place, making sure it's sealed properly. You'd be surprised that that's a very simple thing to do, but so many get it wrong.
Okay, there's an adhesive on each shingle.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes. So it seals that strip, that nail strip, and it's how you get to the next course. And it's there to protect it so that you don't get the nail pops or you don't get that water intrusion coming in through those nail holes. Because over time, the heat, the roof system expands and contracts. So those nails slowly start, you know, coming up over the years. That's what they call them, nail pops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But those shingles are meant to help protect that, to keep everything sealed up. So hopefully it keeps everything in place.
Improper roofing happens so often.
Yeah.
That companies like CertainTeed, Owens Corning, GAF, these are some of the larger shingle manufacturers, you have to be a registered installer of their material to be able to get their warranties, because they know if you do this wrong, all of this is irrelevant. It has to be done correctly, and if it's done correctly with the right materials installed the right way, we're going to give you a 30-50 year warranty on this stuff.
Right.
If you don't follow our strict set of rules, then you're not going to get that warranty. So if you've got a buddy who's a roofer down the road, or he's put up roofs before and he's going to do yours on the side, be very cautious. You might get it for a good deal, but about 4 months from now when it starts leaking and he's not your buddy anymore, you're going to regret that decision.
Or even 4 years from now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah.
And sometimes it takes that long for problems to show themselves. I mean, the real immediate bad issues, they show up very quickly.
Do they?
Most of the time, it's just simple stuff that can be rectified very easily. But it's the stuff that you can't see that, you know, it shows itself in 5 years. And by that point, it's way too late.
Right.
You already have massive damage on the inside, rotten walls, and areas that just could have been prevented had it been done correctly.
I have never been in my attic. I've been told it's a wonderful big space.
Is it?
And they put flooring down. Well, not professional flooring, but at least there's some plywood down there.
Okay.
You can
storage
walk
areas.
Around it. My neighbor walked around it. He was doing something for me in the attic. And I thought, you know, while he's up there, he should look for water damage.
Yeah.
For leaks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does that look like, though?
Well, I mean, that's what's great is that if as a homeowner, if you do have a walk-up attic, you can get access to it. Get up there and check, because you can see a lot of things without even having to call anyone. If you start seeing it on second floor ceilings, by that point, it's already too late, because water's already been leaking for quite some time. Cathedral ceilings are a little different because you don't have any attic space. Therefore, you'll see the stains start showing up on the, you know, living rooms that have cathedral ceilings.
Right.
That's the indication that you've got a roof issue.
Yeah, don't waste your time going up in the attic and looking down at the floor of the attic.
Yeah, no.
Most of the time it's insulation. That's going to suck up all the water anyway. You're looking up at the bottom of the roof deck trying to look for water trails, you know, indication that you're getting water that's getting into that area and then, you know, draining downhill on the back of the roof deck to another location.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, does not happen often, but every once in a while you get up into the attic and you start finding growth, actual mold growing in the attic. Now, that is a very rare thing to find. It's typically too hot in the attic to have that kind of growth.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, that's going to be a ventilation problem. You don't have adequate ventilation. You're not getting intake or outtake ventilation, so there's no airflow. So just get up there a couple of times a year. Just take a look. You're looking for water. You're looking for any growth on the bottom of the rafters. If you get strong smells of ammonia, you might have squirrels or possums or raccoons up in the attic.
Yep.
Luckily, that smell hits you as soon as you get your head in the attic.
That's
so you
right.
know immediately. You're like, something's in here. I'm going to go ahead and go back down the ladder and make a phone call.
Yes.
And also, like Brock was saying, I mean, the other thing is you'll see because you have a lot of attics have the baffles that run down the rafters, and if you have a leak in that area, it's not going to necessarily show through on the floor. It's actually going to run down the baffles, and you'll see rotten soffit. And a lot of times, those are the things that it rots your soffit out, because that's where it's coming out.
Oh, wow.
And then you have clogged soffits. So if your attic is like extremely hot, you're not sure why it feels so hot in the summertime, it's probably because you don't have the right ventilation system, or you've got soffits somewhere that are clogged up, or you're not getting that air intake. So there's a lot of things that need to be looked at. That's why I said getting it inspected, getting a good person out there to take a look at everything just to make sure that you're in good shape. That's what it's about.
Yeah, and if the water works its way down to your soffits, that's best case scenario.
Yeah.
The cost to replace soffits is nothing. You cut them out, you put a new piece of wood up there, you paint it, put in a vent, and call it a day.
Yeah,
it drips on your drywall.
Yeah,
you're replacing the damaged insulation. You're treating the back of the drywall for mold growth. You're buffing out and sanding the ceiling and having to repaint the entire ceiling. So if it can get down to the soffits, that is your best case scenario.
In other words, from the peak, it rolls diagonal down to the edge of the roof. That's a good thing.
That's why we like the option to use radiant barrier on the rafters.
Yeah.
Because of how we install the product, since it's on the inside of the joist, automatically, if there's a roof leak, it carries the water to the soffits every time.
Yeah.
So you're always going to know if you have a roof leak, if you have a radiant barrier installed, because it will start damaging your soffits. Again, that is way cheaper to fix than drywall. Way cheaper.
It makes it a little harder to find the leak itself, you know, where it's coming from. But it does. It definitely does protect your attic and your ceilings.
Very true.
We're going to take a quick break. I want to talk about door knockers. Holly doesn't enjoy talking trash about other companies, even door knockers. But we ease her into it. All right, Brock?
Okay.
We're gonna kind of talk around it, and then we'll force her to talk about fellas who come by and say, hey, I just did your buddy's roof, and I got a whole bunch of shingles left, and I'd love to do your roof. That's crazy. All right, if you want to call us up, 919-860-9783, Holly Bowers of Roofworks and Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier on WPTF. This is Making Your Home Great, FM 92.9 and AM 680, WPTF News Talk and Traffic. Brock Emmons is here from Triangle Radiant Barrier and Holly Bowers from Roofworks. All right, let's ease her into the discussion. something goes wrong on your roof, or very often your neighbor's roof, and you start seeing yard signs for Joe's Roofing.
Mm-hmm.
You might even see a yard sign from Roofworks. But then people are knocking on your doors, mm-hmm. saying if they got a bad roof, certainly you must have a damaged roof. And they got Georgia plates, and they're just fellows who know how to put on a roof. Why should we not go with them?
Well, I'm not saying that all people from out of state are not a reputable company.
Okay, good. Yeah.
What I will say is after a roof is put on,
yep.
there's typically a little bit of general maintenance that you want to get up there a couple times a year.
Yeah.
What if there's a problem? What if a year and a half after you put in the roof, you develop a roof leak?
Yeah.
And you try to reach out to that team in Georgia, and they don't have anybody that can come. So mm-hmm. what they end up doing is they call Roofworks. They call a local roofing company,
yeah.
and they ask them to go out and make the repair. So you're going through a bunch of channels, and that's if they're a reputable mm-hmm. roofing company.
Right.
They'll reach out to Roofworks and ask them to jump in and help. If they're not, they're just not going to pick up the phone. They're not going to respond to your email. They're a state away. What are you going to do about it?
Right.
Roofworks, I know their address. I can show up and kick the door in if I've got a problem. It's easy to locate these guys.
Okay.
Yeah, and I guess, and I'm going to touch on this too. So
yeah.
The trends that we've been seeing, it's frustrating because, first of all, you got to have the homeowner's interest at best.
Yeah.
At best heart. And yep. if you're just going out doing this to make money to flip your company in 2 years, that sucks. That's not having the homeowner's best interest at heart.
Yeah.
And a lot of these companies that have come in doing the storm work, they are dissolving. They're not even making it through, which in turn they might have done your roof last year, but they don't have a company anymore, which yeah. means you don't have a warranty, which means you're left out to dry. Did they do it right? Did they not do it right?
Right.
Where does this homeowner stand in this circumstance? And that's where we come in because we know what the game is.
Right.
We've seen it. We've seen it go on for a very long time now. It's the Wild Wild West.
Yep.
And if you're in it just to make $1 million and go flaunt that you made $1 million and then you're closing your doors next year, that's not what you should be doing. Homeowners spend tons of money on their home. The mm-hmm. roof protects your home. You have to have a company that's going to stand behind that because a roof system, once you put it on, it's going to last a very, very long time. Which in turn means go with a company that's been around that can stand behind that roof system and make sure that you are fully protected.
That's it.
Roofing yeah. companies get sold a lot, believe it
yeah.
or not.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that part of the industry, but it's kind of like apartments,
yes.
right? Have you ever noticed every time you go to an apartment complex, there's a new management, there's new ownership.
Right.
So what happens is people maximize profits. They show heavy, heavy profits. Yeah. Then they sell. That's it.
Yeah.
So try to... Now, obviously, they're not wearing a sign around their neck that says, I'm building a company to sell it. So there's no red flags that they're going to make you aware of. But finding an established company that's been around for many years and has a good, reputable reputation and lots of customer reviews, and that's going to be the safer bet. You might pay 10-15% higher than you would for the guy that didn't have all of that.
Right.
But I'm telling you, it's going to cost you a lot more than 15% when they don't do it right.
That's right.
Right. I think about the people who are coming into town. Now, I'll tell you right now, it's going to be difficult to get anywhere in California. It's going to be hard to find a builder who's not already occupied because they've burned hundreds of houses.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happens with roofing when there's a hailstorm or a hurricane or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The people come in figuring, you know, it's the gold rush.
Yeah, and people get taken advantage of a lot, and because they're in a very vulnerable situation. Especially, you know, the things going on up in the mountains, it's going to take many, many years to rebuild that. And people are getting frauded and scammed and ripped off. And it's wrong in every way, shape, or form. So there's always going to be people in this world that are out there to take advantage of you, work the system. They're going to fraud people. They're felons. That's how people are. You have to be very careful of them, though, because that is their full intention from day one.
And it's not just incompetence, though we worry about that. It's fraudsters.
Correct.
It is. Well, and it's also the insurance company.
Yeah.
People don't talk enough about the insurance company. But the insurance company will say, your roof is messed up. We're going to give you $7,000 to replace your roof.
Not enough.
And then RoofWorks gets involved, and they go, this is going to be about $12,500 to do this properly.
Yeah.
And they go to the insurance company and go for supplements.
All right, we've got to take a break. For news, top of the hour, Holly Bowers leaves us. Thank you very much, Holly.
Thank you.
This has been an informative show. This is Making Your Home Great. FM 92.9, AM 680. WPTF, we are on the air for another hour of Making Your Home Great. Gentlemen, welcome. Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hope you are.
Yeah. And, of course, Brock Adams of Triangle Radiant Barrier. I floated my idea for Triangle Radioactive Barrier in last hour, which would be a product that you could put up in case of, you know...
Will protect you from nuclear fallout.
Right.
Oh, okay.
The best part about it, nobody's going to return it. Nobody.
No, with that comment, ever. I was trying to figure out whether you're talking about, you know, nuclear disposal.
Right? Yeah, no.
From Sharon Harris under your house.
No, it's
encapsulated,
not.
Or
just wrap it in this and bury it.
You'll
be all right.
It doesn't work for that. It only works for the really big ones. Okay.
Right. No, I understand. Really,
so.
Okay.
Protect your home from a nuclear blast.
So if you need help in case of an emergency, don't call me because I'm gone too. All right. So Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware. How's things around the store?
It's well.
Yeah?
Spring is – I'm not going to say spring is here.
Yeah. It's close.
I heard it. We're planting stuff today, right?
Well, we've got potatoes and onions in stock now, and now's a great time to plant those.
Okay.
But we also have all of our vegetable and flower seeds in. And if you want to start those inside, I don't recommend putting them outside now, even though the weather forecast is 80 degrees next week.
Mm.
I can remember many early Aprils when we have seen a snowfall.
Yeah. So
April 15th is
April 15th.
Right, last freeze day.
Yeah, because I always, you know, as people ask me, I don't look at dates on a calendar. I look at events on a calendar.
Yeah.
And so right now is a great time to put out a crabgrass preventer for a fescue lawn.
Okay.
You want to do that between Valentine's Day and Mother's Day. you know, the earlier the better. But April 15th is our beloved tax day.
Yeah.
Yes,
and so that's our last frost. Mm-hmm. So after you pay your taxes, go relieve some stress and plant a garden.
Yes. Yeah, we already did. It's a washout on federal. It's terrible on federal, but state is going to give me back some money, which is wonderful.
Okay, sweet.
So
you can take that money that the state gives you back and come down to Burke Brothers and buy some seed and some tools to put it in the ground with.
I'm still in the hole for federal government.
Okay.
We're still
all right.
It's not a good thing. But what do you need to do before tax day? You put things in the ground?
Well, before tax day, you don't want to do a whole lot.
Okay.
You can do lettuce, cabbage, kale, kohlrabi, Swiss chard, spinach, and I'm sure I'm missing something.
Potatoes.
Potatoes, onions, all those things can go in now, and we've got all that stuff at the store now.
All right. I've got an 8x4 raised bed.
Okay.
I don't know whether you call it a raised bed. It's a
planter box.
It's a planter box, okay. Right. It's on the ground. And I would like to put in potatoes.
It'd be tough to do it in a raised bed like that.
Really? Why?
Because, potatoes, what you want to do is you want to plant them shallow.
Right.
And then as the season comes on, the potatoes are the tubers that are growing under the ground.
Right.
And
right.
So they'll start to grow and expand, and then you're going to have to add soil on top of that. And it's called healing in.
Yeah.
So you'll see a lot of times folks with potatoes, they'll plant the potatoes, and they'll do it kind of shallow, but then you'll see this mound of soil on either side of their rows.
Right.
And that's so once you start to see the potato growing, you start to see a lot of foliage, you want to bring that soil back into the potato so that it can be underground, because you don't want the potato to actually see the light of day.
Right. Is that what makes it green?
That's right. That's what makes it sort of green.
Okay.
And it makes it sort of – it doesn't make it necessarily unedible, but it makes it really, really tough and really, really hard because it's facing the elements of the day-to-day without having the protection of the soil.
Mm.
All right.
It's a lot like Brock's process of encapsulating the area, below the subfloor in the crawl space. You know, we all have those crawl spaces. The top of that crawl space gets nice and crusty because it dries out.
Right.
But if you bother to actually step on that or put your foot on there, you're going a foot into the ground because everything below it is mush. And so the potatoes really like, in a warm environment, they like that mush that's under the ground versus being on top and getting that crusty look on top of it.
All right.
None of us want a crusty potato.
That's right.
Now you knocked me out of the potato. Now, what if
it's too much work for Dave.
Yeah, it's too much work for me.
Yeah. Okay. But in a raised bed, potatoes don't do really well. Onions do okay, though.
Onions.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I think every year that I'm going to become a gardener farmer, and every year I realize there are lots of vegetables I have no interest in.
Right.
None. Do you have, rutabagas?
We have rutabaga seed.
Rutabaga seeds. Yeah. I'm not interested in them.
Right.
How about kale?
We have kale. We have both seed and plants right now.
Oh, that's great. I don't eat that.
But kale, interestingly enough, if you go to a lot of, salad bars and you get the greens, all likelihood is you're getting some kale in that mixed green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you're not just getting lettuce. You're getting lettuce and kale, a little bit of leafy cabbage, some of the broccoli leaves that are on there. So it's all sort of the same family. So
they're feeding me broccoli leaves?
In some cases, yes, sir.
It's good for you.
Broccoli leaves.
Broccoli leaves.
No, it's cheap, and it fills out the salad.
Well,
that's what it is.
All you need is a little more, dressing on top of it, and it doesn't really matter what the carrying agent is.
You're right. What about a mixed spring mix of lettuces?
Yeah, there's a great product that's called, and it's not named after. I hope it's not named after the dictator, but it's Mussolini mix.
Yes,
That's a mix of greens.
Yeah,
that's great for salad. Right. And we have it both in plants and in seed right now.
Is this good for my box?
It is good, yes.
That was going to be my next question, is what other vegetables would you not recommend using in a planter box?
Depending on how deep the planter box is, it's kind of tough sometimes. If you've got a liner at the bottom of that box, you don't necessarily want to do a true carrot because it's a root crop.
Right.
Radish is fine. If you go with some of the small carrots, they're fine. The long radish is not good. Again, potatoes aren't good. But outside of that, those are really the only things that you want to avoid.
Deep-rooted.
The real deep-rooted.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
If you like turnips, if the planter box is more than about 12 inches deep, you can do a turnip, a purple top, which you're harvesting for the turnip itself.
Yeah.
A shallow box, you can do seven top. Seven top has a very, very small turnip, but it's more for the leaf. It's more for the green. So if you go somewhere at a salad bar or a hot bar that has turnip greens, those are either seven top or a derivative of seven top, because they're not for the turnips; they're more for the greens.
Okay,
and that's a cooked product.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And don't cook it inside; cook it outside. It smells.
It does.
It does. It'll stink. It's a good stink, in my opinion. But
I was going to say all the best vegetables are just absolutely reek.
Yeah.
I mean, cauliflower and broccoli and asparagus
You come in when somebody's cooking broccoli, and it's like you've lost your house. This is terrible. Why don't you just put salmon on a frying pan and let that fill the house?
Well, no, my family's a big fan of salmon, so I can't go there. But that's the reason we have our Wilmington Grill. We've got a side burner on our Wilmington Grill.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if we're cooking greens for either collards or turnip greens, we'll go outside and we'll fire up the side burner and we'll cook the greens outside. So unfortunately, my dogs and the horses and the cows have to smell it, but I don't.
That's a good idea. Dave, do you know where we can get a Wilmington Grill?
Wilmington Grill. Yeah, I do. I think you can go to Burke Brothers Hardware and pick up a Wilmington Grill away.
That's right.
Well, I wouldn't say right away.
It's not season yet, right? You should have some new ones coming in.
I do. We've got some ordered. The only issue has been the true stainless steel that they use has still had some supply issues.
Oh.
But they're getting that straightened out. I've got, I think, 12 or 14 grills that are coming in the next 4 weeks. So
the story that I enjoy the most, because none of us want to buy something twice, right? Yeah. Well, remember we all used to be able to buy things and not have to do it again for 20 years when things were made to last?
Amen.
Well, they don't do that anymore with anything. Wilmington still seems to figure that out. Don't you have a customer that had one bolted to a deck at the lake?
Well, we've got two of the owners that I bought the store from. One, their house is down at Wrightsville Beach, and his Wilmington is bolted to the dock that sits over the intercoastal.
Mm.
The other one is at Atlantic Beach, and his is bolted to his back deck. And this May, they will both celebrate their 27th birthday.
There's a lot of salt in the air
direction. That's why I point to those two directly, because, you know, if you use some Easy Off on the outside, a little bit of Barkeeper's Friend to keep it clean if you want to.
Yeah.
They both, and I've got pictures at the store that we take every year on their anniversary of how these grills look.
27-year-old grill. I don't have a car that's 20. I don't have a pair of boots that's 27 years old.
I don't have children that are 27.
No, nothing lasts 27 years anymore.
I got some bad habits. That are 27?
Well, I probably do, too.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we're talking to Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware. We'll explain why he's the expert on this whole planting thing. And maybe we'll talk more about things in the store. Probably.
That'd be great.
We will. All right. That's coming up on Making Your Home Great, 92.9 FM and AM 680 WPTF. FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF. I'm Dave Alexander. We've got in the studio Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware and Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. We have a brain trust here. All sorts of stuff these guys know about. Go ahead and call us. 919-860-9783. All right. Jeff, how do you know so much about plants?
Well, I started out early when I was in high school, worked for a garden center, yes, or a public garden, public-private garden down in Charlotte called Wing Haven. And it was somebody that moved there in the 1920s. The only thing that was on the property at the time was a house and one willow oak.
Yeah.
And when I joined them back in the 80s, they had about 450 azaleas. They had about 280 roses.
Yes.
They had a brick walkway. The totality of the brick walkway is about 1.2 miles through their gardens. And so, you know, I had a true love for plants then, and then carried it through with school over at NC State and, you know, a degree in botany, and just absolutely love plants. Yep. My front yard of the old house, our front yard was about 2/3 of an acre of nothing but perennials.
Wow.
And so I just love it.
So it's a passion.
It is. I love everything about plants.
Okay. That's great. That's the person you want to ask advice from, the people right. that don't see it as a job. It's like, no, I live and breathe this. This is a passion of mine. That's outstanding.
Yeah, we had one lady that called this week that was talking about moss in her yard, and her husband had passed away a few years ago.
Yeah.
And wanted to know how to take care of the moss in the yard. And I said, well, first of all, let me ask you this. Does it upset you to have the moss in the yard? And she said, well, I'm not supposed to have moss in the yard because we always had fescue. And I said, okay, that's fine, but you're going to spend this much money every single year because we're in Raleigh, North Carolina, and you're going to have moss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I'm just asking, at this stage in the world and your life, do you want to spend that much money on trying to get rid of something that is green and natural?
Yeah.
And, you know, and it sort of took her aback for a minute because I wasn't trying to sell her,
right,
you know, hundreds of dollars worth of material to kill this moss. And right. I said, if you want to take care of it, come on in, let's have a discussion, and I'll tell you how to take care of the moss. Otherwise, maybe the moss is okay. I mean, if you don't have a lot of dogs and kids running over that part of the grass or over that part of the yard, moss is not a horrible thing.
It's really not.
Because it's gonna maintain the soil. You're not going to get runoff. You get some heavy rains.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to wash over it and not wash out. So, you know, we try to take every single instance and every single situation of its own accord and figure out, is it possible that what you're doing right now is okay? You know, but if you want to change, that's fine too. We'll help you out.
Right. You're a botany therapist.
Well, okay. I'll take that.
I remember when I was doing the old Triangle Trader program here, and somebody called up and they wanted to sell two tickets to somebody in concert. And I said, do you want to see the concert? Yeah, but my boyfriend went away. And I said, stop. You don't need to sell these tickets. You need a fella. So right. we tried to find her a fella.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to look beyond the request.
That's right.
And people will come up to the cashier area and have things that maybe don't go together.
Right.
And you'll talk them, you'll educate them, not talk them out of things, but educate them.
No, I'll talk them out of it.
Okay.
I will. There's a gentleman that came in yesterday. Perfect example. Gentleman comes in yesterday, moved here from New York,
yep,
moved in November. Yep. So he knew it was too late in November to plant seed,
mm-hmm,
but his yard is a fescue yard.
Mm.
And so I said, so he asked me which one I wanted, and we recommend in this area for a sunny area. It's called Top Choice. It's by White Corals and with Mountain View Seed in collaboration. It's a great product.
Yeah.
And so we're walking up to the front, and I said, now I have to ask you one question. Have you put down a crabgrass preventer? And he said, no, how come? And I said, if you put down a crabgrass preventer, I will not sell you this seed because it will not come up. I said, so if you haven't done that, that's fine. But if you have done that, then we need to go back to square one to figure out, when did you put it out? When is it safe to put this out?
Right.
And do we need to wait till the fall?
Right.
And he said, so you mean that you won't take my money? And I said, honestly, I'll take it at the end of the day, but I want you to be educated to make sure that you're not, being from New York,
right,
I want to make sure that you're not screwing up on where we need to be.
I'm going to ask Viggy to just hang on. Let's put Viggy on the air. Hey, Viggy, how you doing?
I'm well, thanks. I just had a quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think I have a big oak tree in my front yard, and it's in an area that has the zoysia. And, of course, we're getting shade there, and I've got a lot of roots exposed, so I really need to make a planting bed larger and not try to grow zoysia under this tree. So my question is, do I haul dirt in to put over the roots, or do I just mulch over top of it?
No, don't bring in dirt to put over the root. I just go ahead and mulch over it. And if you're looking for a little bit of color and a little bit of addition, you can do any of the you can do some azaleas, camellias, rhododendrons underneath that, because that oak is creating an acidic soil, and those plants absolutely love acidic soil. And you're going to get some color throughout the year that you can do with that, because those plants like to be shallow rooted. They don't like to they don't like to have wet roots or wet feet.
Yeah.
So if you do shallow, then it's a great idea.
Well, there won't be much dirt there for me to dig a hole in to put azaleas with all the roots that are exposed. The problem is right now is the lawnmower's hitting the roots as it goes over it.
Oh, that's a problem.
You know, they're really on top of the soil. It's really on top. So not a lot of dirt there to dig a hole to put an azalea. So maybe some ground cover or something.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, just then mulch it in, like, and you'll be great.
Okay, that's what I needed then. Thanks so much.
Viggy, thank you. Appreciate you calling from Raleigh.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We've got Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware, officially now named the botany therapist, and Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier on Making Your Home Great. FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic, and great talk shows, including this one.
No colluding.
What?
No colluding.
No colluding.
No.
Colluding? We'd never collude. Are we colluding?
Canoodling?
Canoodling?
No, we're not.
No, we're not. No, not doing any of that. Very often, I don't know what Brock's talking about. But that's okay, as long as he does.
I don't.
And chances are somebody else does. Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware is here in studio, which is good, because the people at Burke Brothers can get a little bit of a break.
That's right, yeah.
The boss is out.
That's right.
They got their feet up. They're pretending to be federal employees.
I got my phone. I got the cameras on. I know what's going on.
Okay. He's his own doge.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Good. And you think about it, you're running the hardware store like a business. Yeah?
It's both a business and a passion.
Yes.
You know, in our industry, you look at the people that I think are successful, and it's the owner-operators that are on site.
You are right.
There's a good friend of mine, Lee Hudson, who passed away a couple of weeks ago, owns Hudson's Hardware down in Garner and Clayton, and a new store coming in Smithfield.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have more respect for that man, because he ran the store and he was there up until the last weeks before he passed away of cancer.
Wow.
And so he was a true owner-operator, and he and I didn't see eye to eye on everything, but we had more things in common than we did differences. Right. And that's what you see, is the stores that the owners are there. And I'm very involved in the community. So there's a fair amount of hours during the week I'm not there. But, you know, if the Tahoe is sitting out front, then I'm there and people are welcome to come in. And, you know, my business card has my cell phone on it. And people think I'm crazy for doing that. But I've had maybe 10 calls over the last 15 years, and they were all – issues of desperate need that within 10 minutes I'm back at the store, or I'm already at the store. And, you know, we're there as a community service, not just a retail establishment.
Right.
Right.
Right. And how many, if you've got the cameras running, how many of your staff members are sitting down right now?
That might be one, and that would be the cashier.
At the register.
At the register.
That's fine.
I can tell you honestly that the average length of employment of our staff, I think right now is about 23 or 24 years.
Yeah.
We took a hit this past year because David Lindsay, who is our manager, had been there for 42 years. So when he retired, and I thought he would come back, but when he retired, that sort of lowered that threshold a little bit. But we're still pretty good.
Yeah, and you got members of your family. Your son is working there.
That's right. Son is managing it. My wife works in the office with me, and my daughter, who is at NC State studying animal science.
Yes.
She works there part-time in between classes. So.
Is she getting a BS?
She is.
She is. That's great.
Yeah. Potentially wants to go to vet school. So
nice.
We'll see how that works
out. Oh, yeah. My daughter did the same and wanted to go to vet school. And then they described to her how much money vets make.
Right.
And she said, I got to find something else. I've got to find it. She went into human research.
We tried to lure her a little bit to say that if she wants to go to vet school, then she has a place at the farm.
Yeah.
So that part's taken care of, but in return, she has to take care of the horses and the cows.
Oh, sure.
That actually sounds like a great job.
Yeah.
It really. Oh, yeah. That was my daughter's dream job. Of course, it's every little girl's dream job to be around horses.
That's right.
So
it's funny how most of us grew up. I wanted to be a scientist that studies the ocean.
Yeah.
I wanted to do that until I was about 12. I think all of us wanted to do something with animals when we were younger. So it's great to see people live out their dream.
All right. So Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware, what are the items I can buy at Burke Brothers Hardware that I either cannot buy elsewhere or I cannot buy the quality that you're selling?
Well, that's sort of a tough one because in this day and age, if you look at Amazon and all the online activities, it's hard to find something. But we do have a line of tools that are made down in Lake Waccamaw, Council Tools, that are American-made. They're hand-forged, and their axes and picks are beyond reproach, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And the thing that you can't find in the big box stores is the line of paint that we carry, Benjamin Moore.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge believer, not just because I sell it, but I brought it into the store because I believe in it. You can get truly one coat coverage out of Benmore paint.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're done for 12 to 15 years exterior. Interior done as long as you want that color because their color lock technology makes it where if you want to go touch up something 10 years from now, come in, get the same line of paint, the same sheen, and it's going to match because their color doesn't degrade over time.
And I've been told that saving the can of paint is not as important as saving the numbers.
That's right.
Or the
label.
Label.
Right, yeah. Right. We're a little bit different. We don't take when we mix a can of paint, we don't take that label and stick it on the top of the can. We stick it on the side of the can.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is I tell people, when you're done with the can, don't hold on to the top. Just cut the label off and bring me the label back.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because that'll guarantee, A, that we did it right the first time, and we have both their label as well as my label to make sure that we're giving you the same thing the second time.
Good. Daniel from Creedmoor has got a question. Daniel, how you doing?
I'm all right. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, let me get a quick question in. My backyard's like not very good with any kind of grass or anything. It's mostly chickweed and other junk grown back there. If I wanted to like get rid of all that, what kind of product could I use that would also be safe for my chickens? So if my chickens are running around, they eat something, that's not going to affect them.
Wow.
That's a really good question. Can you, and we free range our chickens at the house as well. Can you keep them cooped up for like 3 or 4 days?
Yeah. I got a really nice coop for them.
Okay.
So yeah, I could.
Yeah, there's a couple of weed killers that are made by Bonide that are you wanting to kill everything or just selectively?
No, I don't. There, I mean, there's nothing worth saving back there as far as what's growing. It's all
okay. There's a great product. It's called, I'm trying to remember the name of it right offhand, but it's made by Bonide, and it's actually a complete killer, similar to Roundup, but it's all organic. It's a vinegar-based product.
Okay.
And so if you give me a call at the store, and I'll plug the phone number, 919-851-1211. Yeah. If you give me a call at the store and give me an hour, I'll be back at the store about, 1:30 or so. I'll be happy to give you the name of that product. And it's safe. I've used it at the farm myself around my chickens. And you give it a couple of days just so, if you were to put it out today, it's supposed to rain tomorrow a little bit. By Tuesday, you're golden to be able to put the chickens back out onto it because there's no chemicals in it.
Okay, very good. And a follow-up question is, if I want a seed and bug, I don't mind a Bermuda grass or anything that's really tolerant, how do I keep the chickens from destroying that?
keep them in the coop.
feed them a little bit more, and go with the wheat straw that you put on over that then bare ground. Put it on a little bit thicker than you might ordinarily, and once you start to see the grass coming up, then you'll start to, rather than trying to mow it, you'll start to rake some of that wheat straw back off, and put it in an area where the chickens can then go and rummage through it.
The wheat straw.
Okay. Yeah. You put a little bit of wheat straw out beside the chicken coop, and they're just going to start to tear it up. And then you augment it with a little bit of scratch grains or cracked corn, and they're just going to think that you're the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah. I'll get you, Daniel, get yourself some grubs.
Mealworms.
Mealworms.
Yeah, mealworms are great, too.
I do have mealworms, yeah.
Yeah.
Where is Burke Brothers located in case he wants to come in?
We're at 5227 Hillsborough Street, right across from the fairgrounds.
Yep.
Okay, I know where you're at. All right, well, thank you very much.
Hang on, Daniel. You got some good news coming. You have won a Cape Fear Seafood Company gift certificate, a $25 gift certificate. The freshest possible ingredients. They specialize in regional American seafood, signature dishes, hand-cut fish, steaks, chicken, and incredible desserts. They're in the Village District and Spring Forest Road in Raleigh. All right?
I'd take a ride out there.
Or you can go to CapeFearSeafood.com and take a look at what they serve you. Daniel, thank you very much.
It's a good question.
Let's get Daniel's information, and we'll go ahead and take care of that. Thank you, Daniel. All right. This is Making Your Home Great, FM 92.9 and AM 680 WPTF. Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware is here, and so is Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. To follow up on his thing about chickens, I'm not sure that a fella can really keep the chickens from eating the grass and scratching it up.
You can in a roundabout way because if you're feeding them, if you know you're seeding around the around that pen, if you feed them extra, there's the chickens know, and we can get into this all you want to, but the chickens know what's going to provide them more energy for the effort of them eating.
Oh, okay.
And so truly grass does not provide a whole lot of energy for them.
Oh, okay.
It's more of an entertainment thing. so if you're feeding them like a scratch grain or like a laying pellet, if you get them, and I'm a big Purina Mills fan because I carried it for a long time at a previous employment, and that's what we feed ours. You can get some things that have added treats into the feed so that they're staying away from that grass.
Yeah.
Because, people sit there all the time. They say, well, the crows are eating all the grass. Well, no, they're not. They're looking like they are, but truth of the matter is most of the time they're down there because of the wheat straw or the oat straw that you put down in the grass invariably has some oat or wheat seed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for that seed because it provides them a lot more nutrition per bite than the grass seed ever is going to provide them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're right. smarter than we are.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's all – they don't – with them, it's all instinct. And yeah. it's not – you know, we go to a buffet and it's like, well, the hamburger looks good.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know, the ribs look good. Do I want hamburger? Do I want ribs? No, they don't do that. It's – with them, it's all instinct of
right.
the larger the seed is, the more nutrition, the more benefit it is, the less energy it takes for them to process it.
Wow.
That's what they're going for.
All right.
I mean, it's just like deer.
Right.
You know, you take deer and you take a bag of corn and put it out at deer, they're going to go hog wild because they know that that's providing more energy per kilocalorie than they're ever going to take and looking at the greens that they're trying to eat.
So, right.
Never thought of it that yeah. way. All right. We're learning every day, whether we care to or not. Because my brain's full. I'm sorry.
Well.
I raised my hand, told the teacher, I'm sorry, my brain is full, so I'm shutting down.
At capacity.
At 11th grade, yeah. All right, Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware is here. Also, Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. I'm Dave Alexander. This is Making Your Home Great, FM 92.9 and AM 680, WPTF. Making Your Home Great every Saturday at 11 o'clock, ending at 1 o'clock, but continue watching or listening to this radio station. You can watch the radio if you want to. I always watch.
We have cameras in here?
Yeah, no, but okay. You can watch. I always listen to UNC Sports on this station and dispute the calls.
Okay.
That didn't sound like, you know, whatever. All right, Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware. That didn't sound like a double dribble. Have they ever called a double dribble in sports in the last decade?
Not that I've seen.
Probably not.
They'll call a walk every now and then. But
all right, Jeff. So in the store, the experience is, and my experience bears this out, you barely get in the store before somebody talks to you.
That's right.
Have you taught them what to say?
Yeah, we try to ask questions that aren't closed ending.
Right.
Meaning that you walk into a store and say, yeah. "Can I help you?"
Yes.
And as a customer, when you walk in the store, you know you're going to hear that. So your automatic response is, "No thanks, I'm just looking."
Oh, yeah.
So the problem becomes, as is human nature, you then go down, I'll say, the tool aisle.
Yeah.
And you know you're looking for something, but you can't find it. Mm-hmm. But you then can't go to the retailer and say, I need help, because you're embarrassed because you said, no thanks, I'm just looking.
Mm.
So we try to ask those open-ended questions like, what can I help you find today?
Oh, yeah.
So we want to engage into the consumer. It's like the gentleman that I was talking about with the grass seed yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, after talking to him and starting that conversation, I probably know more about him than he might want me to know.
Yeah.
But I want him to feel comfortable and everybody else to feel comfortable that the next time they come in, that they can come right. ask for me.
Right.
Or, you know, if they're looking for screen and plumbing stuff, they can ask for Steve.
Yes.
You know, if they're looking for lawn and garden stuff, they can ask for Eric. If they're looking for the Milwaukee stuff, they can ask for Tommy. Outside the garden center, they can ask for Anna.
Yeah.
We want them to we want people to understand they can come in there and feel comfortable. And we have customers that come in and tell me all the time, I appreciate it. I found what I need. I just want to walk around and look. And
yeah.
I tell them all the time, we're here till 6. Stay as long as you want.
See, that's the one thing that when I go into a store, I want to do that. I want to see every square foot. I want to know what they've got.
Right.
You know, for future reference. But you've got how many plumbing products?
Oh, plumbing? Ooh. I dare say there's a little over 11,000.
Yeah.
And that's just sort of thinking the numbers out of my head.
Yeah.
you know, totality in the store, we have, I think we have 87,000 SKUs in the whole store.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot to keep up with, you know, department by department. But you know,
right.
we try to listen to the customers, and we want them to tell us what they need.
Right.
And if I hear from a couple of customers that we need to carry a product that I'm not familiar with,
yeah,
we'll go out of our way to find it, because for all those two people or three people that are asking for it, there's another 10 people that walk in the door that won't ask for it, but they're needing it. So, you know, there's always a better mousetrap.
I'm going to suggest a product which I don't think you have.
Okay.
And I was online looking at a hardware store in Ohio, and they sell propane-powered torches. When I say torches, I mean it's for getting rid of weeds.
We've got them.
You've got them.
Yeah, we've got them.
It's called the
Weed Master.
Weed Master.
Yep, plugs into a 20-pound tank.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we actually have one that we use at the store because we're pretty frugal there, so our parking lot is not in the greatest of shape, but we try to manage it ourselves. So we've got one that we heat up the asphalt ourselves when we're pouring it to repair our parking lot.
All right. Here I'm making things up, and they're there
at
Burke Brothers Hardware. That's a good thing, because you can use those to kill weeds in your 4x8 enclosed, you know.
I use it at the farm. Because, again, you know, having the horses and the cows, I don't like using herbicides along the fence lines. And so we fire it up and walk the fence line about every 2 weeks and kill the weeds. And that way we're not having to put trimmers out there or herbicides out there. And
it
gives those of us that are pyromaniacs a little bit of fun. So.
Oh, yeah. It's a, you know, you're recreating World War II.
That's right.
You know. Although the tank doesn't blow the flame that far.
It's
a wonderful thing to have.
It is.
Because you can, you know, I'm trying to prepare that area and two other boxes for spring planting.
Right.
And the weeds have just taken over the last 2 years.
Yep.
So, okay, well, stopping in. Burke Brothers Hardware is what we're talking about with Jeff Hastings. And the fella called about grasses.
Yes.
Is he right to kill them now? Kill things now? And
He is. But you've got to have a plan.
Yeah.
If you're going into warm season and you're wanting to do Bermuda, centipede, zoysia, then yes, you want to kill everything, and that's A-okay.
Okay.
If you want to do fescue, I suggest to be a little more selective. Maybe go with a broadleaf killer for some of the fescue that's there, because if you don't plant fescue in the next 2 to 3 weeks, you really need to wait till the fall.
Yes.
Because it's just the window of opportunity for getting the roots established before we get into the heat of the summer. That timeline is just shrinking every single day, obviously.
Right. So. And, well, I was told by somebody who thought they knew, would you only do it in fall?
You want to do it in fall.
Yeah.
But sometimes things get in the way. And it's like myself, when I leave here, I've got 750 pounds of fescue that I'm putting out in one of my pastures.
Wow.
Because I simply ran out of time in the fall. I've got it. I'm going to take a risk because it's going to rain a little bit tomorrow, then a little bit in the middle part of the week.
Yeah.
And then we're starting to warm up. And so, especially if you have a way to irrigate. If you have a way to irrigate, then you're five steps ahead of where I am.
All right. Well, it's good to hear that even you forgot.
That's right.
In the fall.
You just run out of time. I mean,
you do, yeah.
Holidays come up, and you know, you get to Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then all of a sudden you turn around and it's March.
All right. Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware. Tell me that number and the address again.
Phone number 919-851-1211, address 5227 Hillsborough Street, just across from the fairgrounds.
And that's making your home great.